Well, family, over the past few weeks, actually probably the past month, I've been on a subject that has been on my mind, and the subject has been on my mind because of a few things that had taken place over the previous weeks and months. And I was just kind of captivated by a comment that was made to me a few years ago by some folks in the church and folks at work. I have the opportunity to teach a safety class every Monday afternoon. And the team views me as what they call a charismatic speaker. And so some of God's people have also said that I was a charismatic speaker. Well, I began to kind of have a problem with that for a moment, but I wanted to take a moment and identify just what do you mean, a charismatic speaker. Now, when it comes to God's Word, yes, I am very passionate about God's Word. When it comes to serving God's people, I am very, very passionate about serving God's people. And as I began to take this journey to look into not just being a charismatic speaker, but God gives some warnings to us that I'm going to talk about this afternoon. People get caught up with people with that charismatic personality, a person who has that special ability to be able to inspire and be quite fascinating and possess that charisma that can draw others to them. We're talking about a person who has the character to be humble, empathetic, have a sense of humor, and has the interest of others at heart. So family members in the church have deemed many as being charismatic, those that are able to draw the individual to them while they're giving a sermon at, or they're giving a sermon, just as we had a sermon at a few minutes ago. We were kind of drawn into that sermonette. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. So my question to myself was, is there something wrong with being a charismatic speaker? What does God say about the qualities of those who get up and who teach his people? He says in 2 Timothy 2 verses 24 and 25, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, must be able to teach, be patient with difficult people, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart as they continue to learn the truth. I generally don't read from the New Living Translation, but I kind of like the way this was put together. So when I went and I looked up the definition of a charismatic person, I found these categories. Number one, that person has to be humble. Two, empathetic. Interesting. Three, he has to have a sense of humor. And four, must love the concerns of others. And believe it or not, family, God has concerns with the character of those who stand before his flock and who teach his flock. The men who are able to do this, many do have a charismatic personality. Now, if someone was standing up here and they would talk, and they would talk in somewhat of a monotone voice, and they would talk slow, and they're trying to get your attention, and you're sitting there saying, come on, buddy, speed it up. You know, you would not have a tendency of wanting to continue to listen, because the next step that you're going to take is you're going to be asleep. You will be asleep. So someone with that personality has to be able to keep the audience attention. Now, how does God feel about that? What do we know about that person? What do we know about the character of that person? The concern, family, I want to bring to us this afternoon is something that Jesus Christ was concerned about, and instructions that he gave his disciples. And the instructions we're going to talk about here in just a moment. The type of people that he's concerned about are false prophets and false teachers. So this afternoon, let us take a look at the warnings our Father gives us when it comes to this end time. Warnings about the characteristics of a false prophet and a false teacher. Do, family, we know the difference between someone who is a false teacher and someone who is a true servant of God? Do we know the difference? In preparing this message quite a while back, I began to ask myself the question, am I a false teacher? That's a fair question. I want to evaluate myself. I would ask you the same question, but don't give me an answer just yet. The title, family, for the sermon this afternoon is, am I following a false prophet or a false teacher? How do we know? Well, let's go over to Matthew's, and let's take a look at what Christ said to his disciples. Matthew's 24 and verse 3. It's talking about the signs of the end time and the end of this age. Verse 3 says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us then, when will these things be? They were talking about the destruction of the temple. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age? Verse 4, Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. You know, many times when people are following other individuals, that individual could be classified as someone who was charismatic, someone who drew them to them, and they were able to make the decision that, you know what, you've got something there, buddy, so I'm going to follow you. And so there are concerns when it comes to someone who is a charismatic speaker and the difference between being a false prophet and a true servant. He says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Now this was a concern that Christ had, and he wanted to share this with the disciples. While they're asking questions about the end time, he is sharing with us concerns of how his sheep can be drawn away. Many will come in my name saying that I am Christ, and they will deceive many. So family, how do we know? Let's go over to Matthew 7 and verse 15. How do we know that an individual is a false prophet or a false teacher? And how do we know and can we identify that true servant of God? Matthew 7 verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. By their fruits, Jesus Christ is telling us. So that means that we, family, must pay attention. We must take notice because Christ is concerned that many will be deceived because of false prophets and false teachers. He says, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You have to look at the character of the individuals. Look at their character. Look at what they speak about. Is this what we continue to profess as Christians? Does this flow with the doctrine of the church in which family God has called us into? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit. That tree is cut down and is thrown away, is thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, we're told, you will know them. What does the fruit of the ones that stand before us on a weekly basis bear? It's a fair question. It's a fair question because Christ was concerned enough to tell the disciples, while they were concerned about the destruction of the temple and they were concerned about the end of this age, Christ was concerned about them being deceived. So what does that spiritual fruit look like? We know family. We go to Galatians 5 and verse 22, and we see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit that dwell within those who come before us and who speak before us. Do we see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? Do we see that fruit being present? Are we even paying attention to the fruit that's being born? Well, we have the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. This is one area that we are to look and take notice of. Just to remind us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do those that come before us bear these fruits, or do you see them out of control? The one thing that I appreciate the most is the fact that I can sit and enjoy a sermonette and a sermon without somebody yelling and screaming at me up here like I did something wrong. Many of us have been a part of that. We stayed awake because it was a good show, I tell you that. But we don't do that because we are following the example of Jesus Christ. By their fruits, family, are we looking at the fruit? Are we looking at the character of the individual? Verse 22, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires. They are following Christ. They have put aside their passions, their desires, because they are crucified with Christ. If we live in the Spirit, he says, let us also walk in that Spirit. You know, I was sitting up, I was putting this together about a month ago, and just going through and doing some research. And I dislike pop-ups on my computer. I dislike pop-ups on my phone. I have put all these little things in place to prevent pop-ups. But you know, those little dudes, it's like they find a little hole somewhere, and they just find them ways to find their way back to you. And so this one pop-up just kept coming up and kept annoying me. And so finally, I went to move it aside, but when I pulled it all the way up to see what this annoying pop-up was, it was talking about false prophets. Now, why isn't that interesting? You know, I'm sitting here, I'm doing a Bible study about false prophets, so who's looking over my shoulder, looking at my notes? To say, hey, buddy, here's something for you. I see that you're looking up information about false prophets. Well, let me share one with you. Well, it was a list. Well, it was actually a talk show, and they were talking about 50 of the worst false prophets today. Okay, piqued my curiosity, because God is talking about us being aware of false prophets. Well, what does the world see? How does the world view individuals that are in the ministry and who have a following? How do they view them? Do they view them as being righteous, or do they view them as being false prophets? I was shocked. I sat and I watched this. It was actually a documentary, I take it back. I watched this for about an hour, and I was really kind of shocked. Very shocked. I was shocked because years ago I had stopped listening to a couple of men. When I would be out on the road and I would be driving early in the morning, and if I couldn't get something else to listen to, there were a couple of guys out there that had a pretty decent message, and they were very close to what we taught. And then all of a sudden one day, the real them showed up in the message. And so I X'd that broadcast. There was another in the evenings, when I used to shut down in the evenings for the night, this guy would come on. He had a very interesting message. I listened. But the thing I didn't like about him was he would go halfway through and then he would say, if you want to hear the rest of this message, please send in a love offering. I thought, really? You would cut it off right there. It was probably a good thing he did, because he really didn't have anything else to say beyond that. They grabbed your attention. They got it. That was it. But yet, these individuals popped up on this list of 50 of the worst false prophets today. Again, family, I was really rather surprised by some of the names that were on that list. And so today, family, we have to be careful We've got to be careful, even within the church. And I'm going to show you here in just a minute as to why we also must be careful in the church when it comes to false teachers and false prophets. But these individuals are claiming that they're doing God's work. Matthew 7. Jesus Christ tells us what he thinks about those individuals. Matthew 7, verse 21, Christ says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." First step here, how do I know if this individual is a false prophet or not? Whose work is this individual doing? Is this individual doing the work of Jesus Christ? Or is this individual doing his own thing? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? Have I not done many wonders in your name?'" He says, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Depart from me, out of my sight. And yet, these individuals have a great following. Why? Because of their charisma, their charismatic personalities. They were able to draw people to them. People listened, people followed. Many have great followings. But Christ says, "I knew you not. I knew you not." Verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on his house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." It was founded on the rock. This individual is solid. This individual is doing the work of God. Can we tell by their fruit if they're following Jesus Christ or if they're doing their own thing? Christ said, "Do not become deceived." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on their house. And it fell. And it was a great fall," he says. It was a great fall. Jesus Christ goes on to say, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe." So Christ is letting us know who the rock and who that solid rock is. And that solid rock is Jesus Christ. Family, we are standing on that foundation in which Jesus Christ built for you and for me. Do you see this characteristic in those of us who stand before you and who teach God's word? Do you see these individuals standing with Jesus Christ? Do you see me standing with Jesus Christ? We are told in 2 Timothy 3 that during this end time, perilous times will come. And now we take a look at some other characteristics of individuals. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." You know, it's about me. It's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. They will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their peers, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. These are things that you take a look at when you're looking at the characteristics, when you're looking at the fruits of those, family, that teach you and me today. In years past, we have seen the charismatic speakers of the church leave, and we have watched others follow them. Why? How? We'll go on and I'll share the findings to give you the answers to those questions here in just a moment. But here are some of the characteristics of men during this time period? Do you see this within the church? Well, I say not, but it happens. It's happening in the world. As I sat and I listened to this documentary of 50 of the worst false prophets here today, it was very alarming. And so this is why we, family, have to be careful with what we listen to, because they draw you in and you don't realize how subtle the adversary is, how he kind of gets you and grabs you, has you start questioning your own beliefs. A couple of these guys in years past began to attack the church. They began to attack us by calling us legalists because we keep God's holy days, because we keep God's commandments. Okay. So be it. Let's drop down to verse 2 Timothy 3. I was finishing up here. Perilous times will come. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying his power. And from such people, we're told, turn away from them. Turn away. When we see people with this type of character, do not follow them. Turn away from them. For of this sort of those who creep into households, and they make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here are some of the characteristics of individuals. And when we begin to look and we talk about false prophets and identifying false prophets and false teachers, we're told by their fruits. Here are some of the examples of the fruits. Not just of just normal everyday men, but those who lead also. You all see that when you look at our government. When they go in and start prying into their lives, you see their crooked ways. It's exposed. And you find out what type of individuals these individuals really are that are going into public office. Let's go down to verse 10. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 3. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, your long-suffering, your love, your perseverance, your persecutions, your afflictions, which happened to me, as Paul says at Antioch. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He delivered me out of all of these cases and out of all these different situations. I was listing in this documentary some of the men who were brought forth acknowledged the fact that they were doing wrong. They did wrong. They acknowledged the fact that they sinned, and they went before their congregation and said, I won't do it again. And yet, when I went back and I looked again, they're doing the same thing all over again. And people are still following them. Okay? I'll give you a conclusion to that in just a moment. Because I used to wonder, well, why? Why do you do that? Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ, we will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. They will continue to deceive, and they will continue to be deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. This is what we are being told. Family, what have we been taught? And why have we remained here for so long? As I look around, some of you grew up in the church as children. I grew up in a church from the age of 12. This is having grown up in the Baptist church and the Catholic church. This is it for me. Here's the truth. God has opened my mind, as he has yours as well, to his truth, his word of truth, and his way of life. And we have the example, family, to share that through our examples with others. People constantly look at you and me and how we are, what we stand for, what we believe, what we believe in. And they will challenge us if they see us do anything different. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and you have been assured of, knowing from who you have learned them. And that form, that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Many of us, growing up in the church as young people, we have learned these things and we have taught these things. Those who came later, again, we were taught. And we were given assurances by Jesus Christ as to what our role is going to be in the future. He died for you and for me. And he gave us, family, he gave us instructions on how we are to live and what we are to do. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. They're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. Family, I hope that by the examples that we see amongst our leaders within the church today, we can begin to see and to know that the fruit that's being born is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit as we continue to work together, to grow together. You know, I challenge myself in this because of the fact that, one, I take great passion and I take great desire to be before you and to present the messages that I present. God has presented to me first. I'm learning first from it. As I stand, as I sit there at my computer and I'm going through God's scriptures, I'm asking God for guidance and direction. These are God's people. And I want to make for sure that the information that I'm giving is according to God's way of life and according to God's word, not mine. You know, I from time to time use myself as an example of things gone wrong. And yet, family, acknowledging the fact that we do stumble, we do fall. When God said he called the foolish of the world, that would be me. But he had a purpose for doing so. 1 Timothy 6, let's drop over here to verse 2. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and their beloved. We have to be careful, family, in how we react and how we respond, even to those, you know, who have rule over us. He says, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words or the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accords with godliness, says he is puffed up and conceited, and he doesn't understand anything. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels. And they're quarreling about words, which produces envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among the people, who are deprived in mind and deprived in the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. And so, family, we have to be careful, because when we see some of these characteristics taking place, you know, we have looked back in the past of our history and we've seen quarrels over things that didn't make sense to you and to me. And there was a separation that came about and everyone is walking around thinking, why? What's going on? I'll draw us into the answer here in just a minute. What's going on? Matthew 10. Here's what Christ charged the disciples to do, the true servants of God. We just kind of took a look at some of the characteristics of those that will be deemed as false teachers and false prophets. We'll go on and take a look at a few more examples, but right now, let's take a look at what the true servant has been given responsibility to do. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now the names of those 12 disciples are right there in front of us, and we know who they are. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here's where you are to go, and here's what you are to do. And you are to go and to preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do we hear this message being preached to us today? Well, the answer is yes. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are working and striving every day, family, in prayer that God's kingdom will come soon. He says to go out and to preach this. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. But here, very importantly, he says, freely you have received this, and so freely you will give. Do our servants badger us and beg for money? Do they talk about the prosperity of money being given and donated into this work on a weekly basis? Every time they have an opportunity to be on a broadcast, do we hear our servants doing that? And the answer is no, we do not. Because God has given us specific instructions about tithing, about offerings. And so we don't do this. So can we begin to separate the two? And looking at your servants and knowing, family, knowing that they are the true servants of God. Verse 16, he says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm going to send you out here, but I'm letting you know right now, people are not going to like you. They're going to hate you. He says, therefore, be wise as serpents. That means we have to have a little street smart. We've got to understand, we've got to know the streets. We've got to know the people that we're going out in front of. But he also says, be harmless as a dove. We can't hurt and destroy these individuals. But he wants us to be wise. He doesn't want us to go out. He knows that the wolves are there, and so we have to be careful. And in being careful, family, we have to stay prayed up. We have to make for sure that we have communicated with God, and we are letting him know, I'm going to go do your work, but I need your protection. I need your guidance. I need your direction. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils to be scourged in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they have delivered you up, he says, don't worry. Do not worry, he says. Can we go back and remember when they came and they grabbed Jesus Christ in that garden of Gethsemane? They took him, they tortured him all night long. What did he say? Not a word, for the most part, did Christ speak. They accused him of so many things, but yet this was brought on because this had to be done. Jesus Christ knew that this end was coming. He says, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour that you should speak it. For it is not you who is speaking, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks through you. You know, it's interesting. I can take a message and I can go from London to Knoxville to Asheville. Same message written out. And when I deliver that message to each one of those churches, it's not the same message. It's not the same message. Why? Who has control of this service? What do we pray and ask God to do in the opening prayer? We ask God to bless the service. We ask God to take control of the service, to give us the food that we need, and to speak about the things that he wants spoken to his people. Do you see this in the character of those who serve you and me? We're talking about the difference between a true servant and a false prophet. Now, brother will deliver a brother to death, a father his child, a child will rise up against his parents. He's talking about in this end time, here are things that are going to be taking place. Also, we will be hated for my name's sake. But he who endures until the end, he shall be saved. When you are persecuted in one city, he says, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man has come. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. We're not greater than each other. God has a specific duty and responsibility for each one of us. And so he expects us to carry out those responsibilities. Verse 27, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. As I was going through and listening to the accusations and charges brought against some of these false prophets, I heard them say this. God spoke to me. He came to me. He spoke to me. And this is what he told me to do. Really? How do we know that God really spoke to this individual? How do we know that God actually speaks to us? What's the message coming forth to all of us? What do we hear them saying? What do you hear us doing? Is this from God? This is why it's very important that we must always pray for one another and pray for those who are speaking before you. He said, do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them fell to the ground apart from your Father's will. God knows, family, those he has put out to serve his people. He continues to guide and he continues to direct the servants of God. I hope that we all can see that within the church. But the concern is, you know, there are those individuals that might jump up and surprise you. Will you take note of it? How will you know? We must continue to look at the fruit. We must continue to look at the fruit. Verse 31, do not fear, therefore, you are more value than the sparrows. That one sparrow that fell to the ground, the Father knew about it. He knows every hair, the number of every hair on our head. But he says, you are worth more. You are valued more. Therefore, whoever confesses to me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. I will take this to my Father. I will confess this to my Father as you do so here on the earth. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father. I will deny him. Verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth, Christ tells us. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. There are things that Christ is going to do to shake things up. And why is he doing these things? To see if we're going to continue to follow him. To see if we're going to continue to follow him. To see if we're going to obey him. He gave us instructions to go out into the world and to preach a message, to deliver a message, to preach the gospel, the soon coming kingdom of God. Are we still doing that today? Well, I still hear that message. Do you still hear that message being delivered? I still hear that message. And I still watch the examples of those who are delivering that message. I may mention at the ministerial conference back in the spring, the one thing that I saw that I appreciated more than anything else was not only just the unity, but that common thread of God's Holy Spirit in every man and woman that was present. There was peace. There was harmony. As we began to sit down and talk about the plans as we move forward with the Church of God. This is church is governed and directed by Jesus Christ. And each one of these men, as I watched them and I listened to them, they said who the boss is. Jesus Christ is the boss. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Let's go over here and look at some of this, some things here when it comes to destructive doctrines. Again, so that we know the difference between a true servant of God and those who will be teaching a different message. 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people. Wow. Right here among us, he says, there are false prophets. Even as there will be false teachers among you as well. Christ is letting us know through his word that there are going to be false prophets and false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on to themselves swift destruction. Do you hear a different message You know, we're being told here that false prophets and false teachers will be among us. Can we identify the difference between that false teacher, that false prophet, and that true servant? Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. This individual has to be someone who is very charismatic, that's able to do this. People will follow them. People will listen to them. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So right here among us, there could be false teachers and false prophets. This is the very reason why, when I was preparing this message, I had to ask myself this question. How do I know? Am I following Jesus Christ, or am I following something else? I spend more time looking at God's word and trying to present God's word than my own thoughts and my own beliefs about, you know, what God's word is saying. God's word is very simple. God has opened our eyes to it, and we present it as God has presented it to us. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people of the preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. So I'm sending a message to them. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing the lawless deeds of those around him. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk accordingly to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. We have seen this even in our midst, those who despise authority. And again, some are very charismatic. They had a good argument. But family, do you know the difference? Do we know the difference? Christ was concerned about us being deceived. The disciples was concerned about the end time. They were concerned about the destruction of the temple. When are all these things going to take place? Well, I tell you, they are going to take place. But, he's concerned about us being deceived and pulled away. He says they are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. In other words, they're not afraid to speak out against, you know, the servants of God or other dignitaries here. Whereas angels are greater in power and might, do not bring reveling accusations against them before God. But these individuals, these false teachers, they do. But here's the destruction of them. Verse 12, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to be caroused in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. They're right there with us. They're feasting with us, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous, in covenant practices, and they arouse the children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. They have gone back into a world that they were called out of, following the way of Baal, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, and a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of that prophet. He says, these are wells without water. They're empty. They have nothing. They have no substance. Clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved for the blackness of the darkness forever. These are false prophets, and these are false teachers among us. He goes on in verse 18 and says, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lawlessness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. They're slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. He is brought into bondage. Family, these are very important concerns that we, family, are not drifted away or following those who do not believe even as we believe, but as Christ says, they are among us. They're among us. I was concerned about the information that I was reading about those in the world and how they continue to have the gatherings that they have. And it really kind of troubled me for a moment because I thought, man, millions of people, they still have the followings. Even stood up and said, yep, I did those things. Yep, I deceived you. Yep, I lied to you. And yet they still have the followings. It didn't sink in until John 15, verse 18. But before we go there, let's finish out in verse 23 here. I'm sorry, 21. For it would have been better for them not to ever known the way of righteousness than having known it, then turn away from it and turn away from the holy commandments that were delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true Proverbs. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. And if you ever seen a dog do that, it's like, it's the most disgusting thing. It is just so disgusting to see a dog do that. But he said, this is how it is. It's like a dog that has returned to his vomit. And a sow who was washed, now wallowing back in her mire. What good did you do to give them these things? And yet they turned back and they went back into that world. John 15, here's where it began to sink in with me. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, this is how these individuals continue to maintain their role as leaders and their followings. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Bingo. If we were of the world loves its own. The reason they continue to have their followings is because they're of the world, and the world loves their own. But we're reminded here, family, that we are not of the world. Yet, because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world's going to hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And I found it interesting, yet here we are minding our own business over here, and here on a broadcast from some other church, we're being condemned. Really? Well, Christ says, they will hate you. He says, don't worry, they hated me long before they hated you. But all these things they will do to you, for my name's sake, spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this has happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. And yet, family, they will hate you and I also without a cause. Why? Because they're of the world. Family, within the church of God, as we, the servants of God, stand before you week after week after week, do you see the heart of a true servant? Can you identify a false teacher? What is being presented to us is what we have to look at. and is what we have to take note of. What is being presented? Can I go to God's Word and pick up this storyline? Or can I go to God's Word and find this teaching? If we cannot, we got to hit the pause button. The true servant of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Nine very simple little words. And you shall imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Do you see in the servants that are before you, do you see us following Jesus Christ? We are imitators of Jesus Christ. Do you see that in the servants that serve God's people? John 10, let's turn there, and I'll begin to wrap things up. We're talking about, are we following a false prophet or a false teacher? Do we know? Do we really know? Are we looking at the fruits of those that serve us to have that understanding? Are they followers of Jesus Christ, or are they followers of themselves? John 10, verse 1, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief or a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep recognizes his voice, and they come in. The sheep recognizes the voice of the shepherd. I don't know if any of you have been around sheep. It's kind of an amazing thing to watch. When the shepherd comes out and he starts calling the sheep and talking to the sheep, oh, they hear him. They're responding to him. They know his voice. And it's amazing to watch. Do we, family, continue to hear the voice of Jesus Christ? He is the gate that we have entered. Do we really know him? And if we know him, then we will know the servants that he has brought before us. He said the gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come in. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. Do the shepherds, do the teachers, family that stand before you, are we following Jesus Christ? And can you prove that we are following Christ? Christ says very simple, by their fruits. You watch their fruits, you watch their actions, you watch their behavior. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. And that's interesting to watch. When you look at documentaries of sheep, you go out there in that field and you'll see, you will call the sheep and they'll look at you like, who are you? You know, here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. See, you got the wrong language going there. That's not how that's done. The sheep only knows the voice of the shepherd. Family, we only know the voice of the shepherd. He is leading us. He is guiding us. He is directing us. That's why it's so important, family, that we always pray for those who are coming before God's people. And pray and ask God to not allow us to be deceived. Don't allow us to be deceived. He says they will not follow a stranger because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, they didn't understand what it meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. You come in through me, you will be saved. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what the shepherd is doing for you and me today. And this is what he is teaching those servants who come before you. You tell them that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. And that's what he did for you and me. He laid down his life for you and for me. But verse 12, a hired hand will run when they see a wolf coming. They will abandon the sheep. Whoop. My bad. Your problem. I'm out of here. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and it isn't, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. The false teachers, the false prophets, do not care about the sheep. They care about the money. A man had a very interesting message that he was delivering. He stops at midways and says, if you want to hear the rest of this message, send me some money. I know many of you probably have heard that or heard speeches like that. Is this a true shepherd of Jesus Christ? No, it's not. Christ is concerned about us being deceived. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and they will be one of my flock, and I their shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me, he says. I sacrificed it voluntarily. I gave, Jesus Christ, I gave my life. I willingly gave my life for you. I willingly did this for you. For I have the authority to lay it down, and when I want to, I also can take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. This is what my Father has commanded. When he said all these things to the people, they were again divided in their own opinions about him. Some said, he's a demon possessed, and his man is out of his mind. Why listen to this man, they said. Others said, this doesn't sound like a man who's possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And Jesus Christ has opened our eyes. He has opened our eyes. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am leading my flock. I am leading the sheep. The sheep know me. They hear my voice. We pray. We ask God for guidance and direction. This is the flock of Jesus Christ. He has placed servants within each congregation to serve. I serve with passion because I love the work of God. I love God's people. And I take this very seriously. I'm up late at night when I'm trying to prepare a message because I want to do the will of the Father. When I come before you, I want to do the will of the Father. Not my own thing, not my own will. Christ didn't even do that. He says, I came to do the will of my Father. And so I don't haphazardly approach God's word. You know, I'm often reminded that if you don't feel inspired to speak, don't speak. And I take that to heart. I take that to heart. If you don't feel inspired to speak, then don't speak. Don't speak. I want to honor God. The servants of God want to honor God in serving all of us. Our leadership within the home office. God's Holy Spirit being present. All of us having that same connecting thread in doing the will of the Father as Jesus Christ has instructed and given us to do. We continue to serve. We continue to give of ourselves. And sometimes we run ourselves ragged in doing so. Why? Because he has commissioned us to do a work. I knew taking this responsibility was going to be a great responsibility. I knew it was going to be. But yet, Christ said, hey, I will see you through. I will guide you. I will direct you. All you have to do is follow me. My sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me. Verse 25, Jesus replied, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work that I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. Those that don't believe, they are not his sheep. Within the servants, that serve God's people? Do you see that quality of the individual following Jesus Christ? Do you see the fruits of God's Holy Spirit? My sheep listen to my voice, verse 27. I know them and they follow me. We're reminded of this again. My sheep listen to my voice. When I sit and I study the word, other ministers sit, they study the word. Those who are preparing sermonettes, when they sit and study the word, we are listening to the voice of Jesus Christ as we read and we study the word of God. And as we go to present that message to all of us, it is by his guidance and direction. How do you know the difference between a false prophet and a false teacher? Is their message. The fruit of their character. Are they teaching from God's word? Are they sharing with you the things that Christ has shared with them? Are they listening to another voice? I heard this voice. This voice told me to come and to tell all of you. There's an ATM machine down the street. Some of you got about $5,000 you don't know what to do with. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do with that $5,000. Run down to the ATM machine and come back. Is that the message of Jesus Christ? Is that what we're to do? Are we to cause dissension among the people so that we can take them from out of the house of God and to do my own thing so that I can have my own way? No. Absolutely not, family. Absolutely not. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand, because the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. Last scripture, family, Ephesians 2, verse 19, and I'll close there. Ephesians 2, verse 19. He says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge him. Family, we are his sheep, we are his servants, and we are here to do the work that he has given to us to do. This is how we begin to identify the difference between true servants and false prophets and false teachers. What's the message that's being taught? What are the instructions that are being given? Can we go to the Bible, family? Can we go to the Bible and find those instructions and those teachings? And if we cannot, family, well, then we have to stop and look again. And this time we have to look at the fruit. Are they bearing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? Family, we have to be careful listening to other teachings and other doctrines. The purpose is to draw you away. The purpose is to cause dissension. The purpose is to cause strife, because you'll find something that someone else says, hey, you should listen to this. Is it coming from our word, the word of Jesus Christ? Is this coming from our teachings? No, we better be careful, family. The adversary is very cunning. He knows how to get us. He knows how to draw us in. He's setting us up to fail, family, when we start looking and searching and listening to other things. Christ has brought us in to this family. We can't turn back. We can't go back. Just think how disgusting that will be. A dog returning to his vomit. Ugh. Why would we do that? Family, let us continue to grow. Let us continue to keep our eyes open. And as Christ says, don't be deceived.